Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. I'm thankful that you join in, tune in. We appreciate your calls and your comments, your dialogue and discussion each day. It makes a wonderfully well-rounded program when you participate. Others are encouraged and blessed by your participation and your input. Let me remind you, you can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413. 401-1413 gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can discuss these issues with you each day. We look forward to it. Let me remind you once again, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do not do so based on some ideological, philosophical rhetoric. We do not face the issues based on some denominational dogma or the rites and the rituals and the rules and regulations found in so many religious circles today. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. I believe the Scripture should be the fundamental foundation and the capstone of all that we do as Christians. It ought not to be anything that we do and make a determination based on what is right and what is wrong, other than based on what the Scripture says. This is the reason I've said for many years, every Christian ought to be a central biblicist. That is, what does the Word of God say? Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need truth in society today. One of the problems that's missing in Washington, the element that's missing in Washington, is truth. The element that's missing in most of our city halls and town halls and state capitol buildings and our legislators is searching for truth. And Jesus said to his disciples, John 17:17, when he's speaking in his high holy priestly prayer, Jesus says, thy word is truth, speaking of the word of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about that very thing today. In fact, we're going to be talking about a subject that I believe is vital and necessary for Christians to understand and to fathom. We're going to try to get a little further down the road with that dialogue and discussion. In a moment, we'll have Dr. Neil Phelps with us. Dr. Phelps is a professor of Bible and theology in Conservative Theological University. And I'm looking forward to some of our dialogue today on this broadcast where we discuss the question, is the Old Testament relevant, or better put, the precious promises of the Old Testament? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into that, let me invite you to worship with us Sunday. This Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'll be studying the Word of God verse by verse and chapter by chapter, what's called expository preaching. We'll have our Bible study hour at 9:30. Where you can go into classes and your age group, men's class, ladies' class, then the youngsters, etc. But it's designed so that you can have dialogue and discussion around the Word of God. Our Sunday school classes, Bible study classes, not made up of just talking about the next picnic or the next trip. It's not made up of talking about what Aunt Susie served for lunch last week and what we'll have this week for lunch. It's based on the study of God's Word. That's at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. We invite you to come. And then at 10:45, the a.m. worship. At 7 o'clock, the 7 p.m. worship. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, right in the heart of Mandarin. That's exactly precisely 1 mile south of I-295 and precisely 3 1/4 miles north of I-95. So either way, you can get to us from any part of the city at a 10-15-minute drive at the most. So we look forward to have you. We've met many, many, many of you by way of the radio broadcast. We'd love to meet you in person, have the opportunity to worship with you. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the subject today, the precious promises of the Old Testament, let me just, by a few words of monologue getting to our point, I believe that we are watching the chaos and confusion and the caution of our day. And as we do so, I believe we must realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God is still real. God is still on the throne. God is still in full control. God has never lost control. He's never had to go to plan B because plan A failed. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, he controls the whole world. And as we think about the conflict and the corruption in Washington, as we think about the division and the divisiveness and the debate over the border wall and the need for secure borders, may I remind us, this does not take God by surprise at all. It doesn't take God by surprise when we see what they've passed the bill, the legislation in New York to simply murder human beings even after birth. That doesn't surprise God at all. For you see, he already tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following, but in particular in chapter 1, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Didn't say maybe or perhaps, shall come. And if I can be bold enough to say, I believe that we can, without doing danger and harm to the Scripture, we can modify that and say, perilous times have come. We're living in the last of the last days, and we're watching those perilous times. That word perilous simply means dark, dangerous, difficult, divisive. And we're watching that today. We're seeing both this in the political field and also, unfortunately, in what's called the religious world today. Not just the political world, but in the religious world. I don't like that term, religion. But nevertheless, that's the broad brush overview. And we're seeing that, if you please, in the religious world, where it's the perilous times. And as we look at the perilous times, we need to understand that today, rather than placing our faith and trust in the Word of God, rather than pastors, preachers, teachers, academics in the spiritual sense, rather than focusing on encouraging Christians and the world in general to study the Word of God, to know the Word of God, and to place our faith and trust in the Word of God, we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, those that are placing their both feet on the slippery slide of a high side of a mountain with their feet planted solidly on a banana peel, that's now, with these strange voices, talking about the Bible needs to be rewritten because it's out of step with modern culture, that somehow, some way, we need a new Word of God. We have some of those strange religious voices today saying hell is not real. And then we have some that saying the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. And in fact, one of those said this, that he does not think that the Christians should participate in the belief in or the standing on the Ten Commandments. And there's a problem with that kind of statement. Nevertheless, that's some of the strange voices we're hearing. Many mainline denominations today are even saying that Christians and churches should embrace the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. Andy Stanley says that we must unhitch from the Old Testament. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we must ask the question, the very serious question, the fundamental question. And that question is the Old Testament relevant? What about all of the precious promises found in the Old Testament? Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have back with us today to discuss this, Dr. Neil Phelps. As I said earlier in the introduction before the monologue, Dr. Phelps is a Bible and theology professor at Conservative Theological University. We're delighted to have him on board with us today. Dr. Phelps, you've heard my monologue and my preliminary introductory statements. Should Christians read, study, learn more about the Old Testament, or should we just jettison the Old Testament? What should Christians do in relationship to what we're hearing with these strange voices today?
I believe that we need to place value upon all the Scriptures. All the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God and are profitable to us. And I've found that we need to just remember that God has given us the whole truth in the Word of God, both Old and New Testament Scriptures. There are some promises concerning Christ that are found in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New. Almost everything that Christ said or did had some connection with the Old Testament prophecy. So I'm one of those who's going to say that we need to place great value on all the Scriptures. As the psalmist said, for example, "Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Psalm 119:111.
Dr. Phelps, when you say that, it causes me to reflect back on the fact that as you study the New Testament, you find that Jesus quoted the Old Testament out of the book of Isaiah, Deuteronomy, Exodus, Psalms. In fact, our New Testament writers quoted over 300 times verbatim or paraphrased directly from the Old Testament. So what you're saying to us is validatable in the Word of God itself, that as Christians, we need to study what we call both Old and New Testament.
Yes, sir.
I'd prefer simply to call it the whole Bible.
Yes. Almost everything that Christ said or did had some connection with Old Testament prophecy. For example, as he began his ministry, Jesus was allowed to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. In the synagogue, Jesus stood up and read to the people those words that are found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And after reading to the people in the synagogue, Jesus said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What he had read was a passage of scripture that would speak of Jesus coming in his first advent and what he would do in performance of miracles, for example.
And that is validated in the New Testament, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, the life of Christ is very unique. All was according to the divine pattern recorded in the Old Testament. He was the one sent by the Father to fulfill his will. God's will was for him to accomplish the work of redemption as outlined in the prophecies concerning him. Jesus did not come just to be an example, although he is our best example. But God's will, you see, was for him to do his work of redemption. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, redeemed under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, the Bible tells us. In order to show the connection between the Old Testament prediction and the New Testament fulfillment, Jesus often referred to the God-given scriptures of the Old Testament. When talking with Jesus at the well, the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus said unto her, "I that speak unto them, thee am he," in John chapter 4. The Old Testament helps people to recognize Jesus as the Messiah.
That brings me to a point, and if I could interrupt for a moment, Dr. Phelps. We find Jesus, the prophecies of Jesus' first coming in the Old Testament. We find the prophecies of the last days, that is, eschatological prophecies, coming from the Old Testament. We find the origin of sin in the Old Testament. We find the history of Israel in the Old Testament. We find the prophecies of the coming reign of Christ for 1,000 years in the Old Testament. And I could go on and on and on. The point that I want to interject with the thought behind it is that where would we be with the foundation for a New Testament without the Old Testament?
We would be in the dark.
In the dark, that's right.
We certainly would be. There's a lot of ignorance today about the things that God has for us in the Scripture, and of which many people are so ignorant. Jesus quoted from the Old Testament quite often. Jesus quoted from Psalm 110 to identify himself as the Son of David, a messianic title, and also to prove that David called him Lord. And Jesus asked that question of the Pharisees in that day, the religious leaders. If Jesus called him Lord, then how is he his son? And they didn't know the answer to that. Also, by taking the title Son of God, Jesus identified himself with the messianic title as used in the second Psalm. And I quote, "I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And so the title, the Son of God. Jesus also connected the blessings of salvation given to all who trust in him with the promises of the Old Testament when he said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus was referring to such Old Testament scriptures as Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3, which reads, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation." The connection with the Old Testament prophecy was also seen as Jesus drew near to the cross. Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." That was in Luke chapter 18. Suffering on the cross, the Lord Jesus identified himself as the one whose hands and feet were to be pierced, according to Psalm 22, verse 1, which reads, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me?" And verse 15, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Three of his seven sayings on the cross were the very words of the Old Testament scriptures.
Yes, and I find it, Dr. Phelps, I find it causes a great sense of consternation and anxiousness on my part, and sadness when I see prominent preachers that are recognized globally that will say things like this. This is an article that titles, "The Old Testament is Over. The Old Testament is Not Authoritative." Andy Stanley, and I'm reading, Andy Stanley claims that we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. That's quite a splash, but he defended his view in his book called Irresistible, subtitled Reclaiming the New That Jesus Unleashed for the World. He goes on to say the Old Covenant has passed away in its entirety. And then in his blog, Jesus Ended the Old Testament Covenant Once and for All, he says, Paul argues that the entirety of the law has been set aside now that Christ has come. To say that the moral elements of the law continue to be authoritative blunts the truth that the entire Mosaic Covenant is no longer in force for the believer. And he ended his blog by saying that we don't treat others based on the Old Testament, but based on the law of love, the love Jesus expressed for his disciples. And then he further says the Old Testament, Old Covenant, has passed away in its entirety, and believers aren't under the Old Covenant, but the New Covenant, which was inaugurated at the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And then this particular article says, and I quote, "All of the Old Testament has a revelatory and pedagogical authority for believers in Jesus Christ. We must interpret the Old Testament in terms of God's progressive revelation and his covenants in order to determine and to discern how to apply it today." That was the writer in his challenge for Andy Stanley. And I don't know of any better way to put it, Dr. Phelps, when you had Jesus preaching and teaching, the apostles preaching and teaching, the disciples and their preaching and teaching, they all used the Old Testament for soul winning, for preaching. And yet to say that the Old Testament has no value, I go back to the thesis of this broadcast today, is the precious promises of the Old Testament. Continue to share with our listeners, Dr. Phelps, some of the thoughts that you have in relationship to what our listeners ought to retain from this broadcast today and the importance of it for them to learn the Scripture, study the Scripture, our total Bible, not just parts of the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're interviewing today and talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a Bible and theology professor at Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, tell our listeners further about the importance of the precious promises of the Old Testament.
When we read the New Testament, you will understand that Jesus placed great value on the Scriptures, and the Scriptures that he was referring to would be the Old Testament.
Yes.
After his resurrection, when meeting with his disciples, Jesus said, "These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." That's found in Luke 24, verse 44. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the predictions of the old. Jesus, the Savior, is the link who binds the two testaments together.
That's right.
For example, when Matthew narrated the virgin birth of Christ, he said that it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prediction of the Messiah's birth. And I quote, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And that's from Matthew chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And the reference is to Isaiah 7, 14.
Dr. Phelps, we as Christians, as the church today, we wouldn't even realize the virgin birth is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy if we jettison, discard, disbelieve, unhitch from the Old Testament. It would destroy the continuity of what we find in the Scripture today.
Truly. And also the sermon preached by the Apostle Peter is recorded in Acts chapter 3. Tells of the fulfillment of Old Testament scriptures, as he stated, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled," Acts chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul's method of preaching the gospel was by connecting the New Testament facts of the death and resurrection of Christ with the Old Testament predictions and the teachings. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again, the third day, according to the Scriptures." Therefore, not only was the life of Christ pre-written in the Old Testament, but Jesus himself witnessed to the fact in the New Testament. Christianity is not a religion unconnected with the Old Testament. Our faith as a Christian is based solidly on the truth that the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, let's talk a minute about where Jesus would say, and the writers of the New Testament would say many times, it is written, or as it is written, or in this where you have just quoted, according to the Scriptures. And the word according there, kata, based upon the Scriptures. What Scriptures are they talking about?
Well, Isaiah 53, for example.
The Old Testament.
That portrays Christ as the servant of the Lord, the suffering Messiah. We know that this statement that we are making is true by reading the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 8, where Philip interpreted Isaiah 53 as the prophecy of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. The words of Isaiah 53 speak of the one person in all of history, of all the world, who was wounded for us. Some of the startling statements that we read in the book of Isaiah 53 speak specifically to us of the suffering of Christ.
Dr. Phelps, I believe we've got a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Good morning. I always like to say, if you just use the New Covenant, the Brit Chadashah, it's a two-course meal. It's satisfying. But if you bring in the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, the Hebrew Scriptures, it's a 7, 8, 9-course meal, and it's certainly more fulfilling.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said that better, brother. It is the full plate. And if you leave the Old Testament out, if you jettison the Old Testament, or you come unhitched, as Andy Stanley is saying, from the Old Testament, we have half-truth, a partial truth, not the full total revelation of God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I prefer, not everyone agrees with this, but I prefer not using the term Old Testament I mean, if you want to use it, fine, but I prefer not using it because it conjures up the idea if it's old, it can be discarded and you don't need it.
You're exactly right. We have used that by custom for so many centuries now, but yet it's the total Bible, the full Bible. If we could bring ourselves to become accustomed to saying not the old and the new, as you said, but simply the Word of God, the Bible, because the totality of the Word of God. You're exactly right. And that's well-founded statement.
Yeah. All right. God bless. Baruch Hashem. Blessed be his name.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your call and for your input. I believe we have another call on the line. Go over the question and the comment, please.
Yes. Good day. I'm Dr. Youngler. Just a question. I have my mail-in ballot, and I need help. I need help as to how to. I don't know. I am new in Jacksonville. I don't know the individuals. How do I get about getting help for the mail-in ballot?
I would call the elections campaign headquarters, the election office, and talk with the folks there. Get them to see if you've already registered. If you're already registered, then you could
send me the mail-in ballot already. So I need to fix it up. But I don't know the individuals. I don't know. So if I get a sample ballot or something, that would. But
all right, talk with. You would talk with our studio person and leave your phone number and let me call you back off the air, and I could walk through that ballot with you. Be delighted to help you with it.
Okay, leave my number with
with Roger. That would be good.
Roger, I don't know if he'll.
All right, he'll get that for you. But thank you so much for your call. We're delighted to have you listening. I'm praying that it's a blessing to you. Dr. Phelps, we've got just a few more minutes before our broadcast is over for today, but continue with your thoughts as what I would call the inspiration, the admonition of our listeners to be sure and connect to the totality of the Bible. As one of our callers said, if you call it old, then it looks like it's something that can be discarded because we've got a replacement. But it doesn't replace. The New Testament simply is the fulfillment, the completion of, because you go from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it's the revelation of God to man, progressively revealing himself.
We know the mind of God when we read all of the Bible.
Yes.
See, our instructions as Christians, as found in Ephesians, is for us to think upon the Scriptures, to think about what God has said to us, and that includes the Scriptures, what we are referring to as the Old Testament. For example, Ephesians 5, verse 19, says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are some instructions for us that we might have proper Christian conduct. And the Psalms serve as the textbook that God uses to teach us of himself and his ways.
One of the things that Dr. Phelps says, we've got about a minute left. Here's a writer that I find intriguing with this statement. And the caption of this portion says, the Old Testament substantially influences our understanding of key biblical teachings.
Yes.
In this portion, he says, the Old Testament narrative builds anticipation for a better king, a blessed people, and a broader land. The Old Testament creates the problem and includes promises that the New Testament answers and fulfills. We need the Old Testament to understand fully God's work in history as found in the New Testament. How would you relate to that statement?
I think that's absolutely true, because what God tells us throughout the Bible is a progressive revelation, not only of himself, but of his plans and purposes for us in the future. I like to say it like this. The Old Testament gives us hindsight as we look back. And the insight we get throughout all the scriptures for today. But also we have the prophetic scriptures in the Old Testament that gives us a preview of things that are to come for the future. So we look at both the past, present, and the future. We get the whole picture as we read all of the scriptures.
Or as one man put it in his book, we get the bigger picture.
Yes.
And by seeing it that way, and I think that's correct. We find the ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the precious promises of the Old Testament, the true value of the Old Testament. And as we study the scripture, let's look at it on the basis that it's a whole, it's an entire. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, we're looking at the progressive revelation of God to man. And as we study the Old Testament, we're looking at the fundamental foundation. As we study the New Testament, we're seeing the fulfillment of that foundational prophecy, the foundational study, and the teachings wrapped up in the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.